Hello and welcome to Be Bold, Live Free. I'm Jillian. I'm an abuse survivor and advocate for women whose lives are impacted by abusive relationships. Every week I will host a qualified guest to address an issue relevant to recognizing abuse, walking away, and most of all, healing from the emotional, spiritual, and psychological impacts of hidden abuse. If you appreciate today's episode, please like it, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Someone you know needs this podcast. I am really excited to introduce our guest today, my good friend Jill Bond. She is an author and speaker who, through adventure and play, helps people find joy no matter what else is happening, good, bad, or the ugly in life. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you, Jillian. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I also want to mention that you have a wonderful podcast. Jill started a podcast called Find Joy No Matter What, full of stories that will show you how to find joy in the middle of hard places. And Jill, I know you're no stranger to painful experiences. I know on your bio on your website, you mentioned that your father died suddenly when you were only 10. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult, you had a long battle with infertility. Right. So, you've been in the middle of hard places. And most people that probably tune in to my podcast have been in or are living in a hard place.
Right.
So I'm just delighted that you were available to come and share with us today. I appreciate it.
Well, talking about finding joy is my favorite thing to do. I used to teach English. I did that for over 30 years. And I told somebody the other day that when it comes to just talking about joy and writing about joy, I said, now I feel like I've come home, you know, to what I was always meant to do. It's a lot more fun than grading papers.
Well, I bet your students enjoyed your class because I can't imagine you doing it straight all the time.
No. rarely were we straight. Nope. No, it was fun.
That's wonderful. And I also wanted to tell our listeners that you've also written some books, and your latest one, I love the title, Born to Be Wild, Rediscover the Freedom of Fun. And you said it was written to help men and women unleash their lives. And in my ministry, that's the same thing that I'm trying to do.
Right.
To help women unleash their lives. Right. So I know that we talked about some questions. Mm-hmm. So with your permission, I'm just going to dive right into what we have planned. And the first question is, what are some concrete ways we can find joy no matter what else is going on in our lives?
Well, a couple, because I always like for somebody to give me something concrete, something to do, something I can wrap my mind around when it comes to a subject like this, because I'm going to preface this and I'll get to the concrete ways in just a second, but I found out a long time ago when I was a kid on the tilt-a-whirl. I'm surely your listeners know what a tilt-a-whirl is. I don't think I'm that old.
I certainly know what it is.
It's a ride. And I love to tell people that I found out, I learned a very important lesson on the tilt-a-whirl when I was a kid. And that is that it is entirely possible for a human being to laugh and throw up at the same time. And because you're having a great time, but oh man, it feels bad while it's feeling good. And I carried that lesson into adulthood and relearned it on a different level, of course, when I learned that joy and sorrow can walk side by side each other. And I think we forget about that sometimes, that we think, well, I'm either in a bad place or in a good place. And even when the bad comes, that we can't experience joy. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. that they do walk side by side, two sides of the same coin. So as far as concrete goes, I don't know if you've heard of a book by Tommy Newberry about 40 days of living a joy-filled life, but I quote him a lot from one chapter, and I love this sentence. He says, though God's grace doesn't demand mental discipline, living a life of joyful excellence must be preceded by it. So we need mental discipline. But again, as soon as you say a phrase like that, that sounds like no fun whatsoever. I told somebody one time, it sounded like low carb thinking, you know, just absolutely nothing fun about it. But I've learned that when we exercise that mental discipline of just focus, just shift your focus, we have to make an effort to focus, and concrete strategies help that. When you feel like there's just nothing you can do, you can't change the situation, but you can change the way you look at it. One of my favorite ways to do that is a technique that I learned from a lady who used to write for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I live in Richmond, Virginia, and she was undergoing breast cancer, chemotherapy for breast cancer when she was 50 years old. And her husband gave her a gift she said she would never forget. And that was, they were materials for a photo journal. And What you do with a photo journal is every day you take a picture of something good that happens. And when she wrote it, she was using a camera. Well, if you've got a phone, there is no excuse for not having a camera available. But let me, may I read some of her words? Because they're so good.
Sure.
She said, I started keeping this journal about 3 months ago when I turned 50. Every day I take a photo of something good that happens in my life. That's not as easy as it sounds. Not because good things rarely happen. They do all the time. The hard part is having the camera ready to record them, having your phone with you. She said, but when I meet friends for lunch or a cup of coffee, I have a camera ready. When I know someone's coming for a visit, I make sure to put the camera or your phone by the front door so I won't forget to record the visit. She says, sometimes the day's photo op arrives gift wrapped, like the time everyone in my water aerobics class wore shower caps, artfully decorated with daisies, so I wouldn't feel uncomfortable visiting without any hair.
Oh.
So she takes a picture of it. Other days, it's more of a challenge. I've got shots of the first bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich of the season, a bowl of local peaches with vanilla ice cream, and a container of blackberries, a gift from a neighbor. The challenging days don't always result in food photos, though. I have pictures of goldfish swimming among the water lilies in our pond and of hot pink crepe myrtle blooming in our backyard. Whatever kind of day my pictures remind me of, they won't win any photo contests, but that's not the point. The point is to record something good that happens even on the challenging days. And herein lies the key, I think. She says, everybody has them. I had a few this summer. As a result, I took a lot of pictures of my cat curled up at the foot of my bed. On the challenging days, she stayed in camera range all day. Then she gets creative and starts creating opportunities for a photo op. And she ends her little piece by saying, the tools for my picture diary were a present from the guy who has celebrated every birthday with me since I was 20. And she says, 30 years from now, when I look back at the first 3 months of photos in my picture diary, I'll see pictures from that big birthday, plenty of easy to find shots that remind me of a very good day. But I'll also see my feet taking an exercise walk, Canada geese floating on a pond, leaves turning red and gold on maple trees, and rain hitting the window. Little things like that can turn a challenging day into a good one too. And I have told people before, sometimes people will tell me, I just don't have the heart for it when I'm going through a terrible time. And it's been my experience that the terrible times are the very times that you need to remind yourself that there are good things happening. I'll also tell people to be sure to print the photos out, which I know how counterintuitive that is now. If you've got thousands of pictures on your phone, like I do,
right. Me too.
That we just aren't inclined. It's a little bit of trouble, but it is so worth it for a project like this. And you can do it for a week or a month or a season. Sometimes people, Christmas season is really hard. So some people will do it all during Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing quite like a physical album on your nightstand so that the last thing on your mind that night is the goodness of God.
Right. I love that, Jill. I can think of so many ways that that would be helpful for us to have that focus. And having it in pictures. I mean, I have, you know, I journal a lot, but having it in pictures, I mean, that's just so an effortless way to be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that visual, I think you would call it a joy shot.
Exactly.
you know, I just love that idea. It's beautiful.
And it's no pressure. You know, if mm-hmm. if you want to take it a step further, you can get an album that lets you write a few words about it, but that's not really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people will keep it on the coffee table. Somebody comes over and they pick it up and say, "What's this?" And you have a chance to say, "Well, it looks like some insignificant things, but let me tell you." And just good thing after good thing. Every time you look at those pictures, you relive the good thing and your focus changes.
Right.
If only for moments, it's just good for your brain and your heart. I bought a packet of neon 3x5 cards, index cards. And every morning, and this is to make me more mindful. Every morning I pull one out. And I put it on the dresser where I put my makeup on, or, you know, wherever I'm going to see it. And that index card is to remind me to keep my eyes and my heart open for what God, something good that God has in mind, or a good thought, anything that he wants to give me that day. And I write it down. So I take that index card and that sets my mind. I've heard it called imprinting. Rather than reaching for your phone first thing, which that's an imprint on your brain also, I just see that index card and I think, okay, help me to be open to what you have for me today. And I'll write it down. And at the end of the day, you know, I can review that and put those ideas in a place.
Or what are some questions we can ask ourselves to help us focus on joy?
One of the things, what was the last thing you saw that brought you joy? And as you talk about it, if you'll talk to people, you know, and ask them that question as well as yourself, I mean, your face lights up, anybody's face lights up. So that's one question. You can also focus on, what are you grateful for? And here's a really good question that will give you a clue, I think, as to how you can tap into joy. And that is this: when do you feel most alive?
Great question.
I know, isn't it?
Great question.
When do you feel most alive? And when was the last time you availed yourself of that you put yourself in that space to find joy being who you were created to be, the way God wired you? You know, again, for me, it's music. Music is a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Making it, I play keyboards and all, making music with other people. That's just the best.
Wow.
But everybody, I think if you think about it, when you feel most alive, sometimes we go long periods of time without putting ourselves in mm-hmm. that space. So that is a good question, a really good one. I'm all about questions. I just think they open up a whole world. Michael Hyatt, who is a business coach, his wife asked this question, and he's written about it a lot. And that is this: what does this make possible? In other words, what does this negative experience make possible?
Wow.
My husband and I were forced off of an interstate one time because of flooding. And we were stuck in this tiny, tiny town at a shelter. And of course, everybody in that shelter was completely bummed out. We were dry. You know, we had, do you know what MREs are? Meals ready to eat from the military. Yeah, well, you don't want to know what that is. not great. But anyway, we weren't suffering, but emotionally, psychologically, nobody knew when we would get out of there. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept thinking about that question. I thought, okay, what does this make possible? Well, we got to know some people. We played games with people. One lady was there trying to get to her mother, who was in hospice. And while we were in the shelter, her mother passed away.
Oh.
And so I know, but we were able to surround her. And it can be a small or a big negative situation. But asking, what does it make possible, just takes your mind in another direction.
Mm-hmm.
Two more. What do you do for fun? This is my favorite question when I'm introduced to somebody, rather than ask them all the usual first.
Yeah.
People say, where are you from? They want to know, do you have children? What do you do for a living? And all that, it's nothing wrong with any of those questions. But if you lead with, what do you do for fun? The answer to that will tell you more about that person, I contend, than any other question. And then you can tell them what you do for fun. And if you're not having fun, we need to talk a little bit. Oh gosh. Question. What's it like to be you?
And wow. That,
oh, I know, that's a game changer right there. For you, I think that question brings joy, because if you're trying to explain to somebody how it's going, what's it like to be you right now, helps you articulate, you know, what's going on inside you, and flip the script if you're trying to understand somebody else. What's it like to be you is a great question. So
really,
that's a bunch.
That's a bunch
of questions.
Those are great ideas. I love those questions.
Do a smile.
You are a person that I consider to be naturally joyful. I probably am more naturally contemplative. But what makes some people more naturally joyful? Is it your personality, or is it your experience? Is it your determination?
Well, you know, obviously I'm not a scientist, a behavioral scientist, but I've read some things and I've observed, and here's what I think. I think it's more complicated than a simple formula. However, the reading that I've done tells me that 30%, 30 to 40%, I've read it in more than one place, 30 to 40% of our makeup, our disposition is genetic.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody needs to apologize for not, you know, being Tigger. You know what I mean? Bouncing around all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's perfectly okay not, you know, to be contemplative. But the revealing thing to me is that, and I think it was, let's see, if that's 30 to 40, then 30% more was your choice. And the rest of it could be circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But what the bottom line of that to me is, yes, you are. I think some people are wired not to be as exuberant or maybe as optimistic, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that means a significant, the other 70%, we do have a choice, not as far as circumstances go, but our response to the circumstances. So, you know, I told that to somebody one time and she said, what a relief. I just thought that I was Eeyore, you know, and maybe you are, and it's okay to be Eeyore. But she said it was also reassuring to know that you do have some choice in the matter, as far as what we just talked about. So that's what I think about that. Yeah.
That is great. I know this is a big question. And I think that most people ask this, even if they don't put it in these words, but how do we find God when we're in a really tough situation where honestly, there isn't any joy in the circumstance?
And I think everybody will experience, some people will experience a lot more circumstances like that. But I think we fool ourselves if we think that there's something joyful about every circumstance, because no, there are some circumstances that have no joy in themselves.
Right.
Learning that you can look for joy in that story somewhere. You know, like Mr. Rogers said, his mother said to look for the helpers, you know, when something bad happens. It's kind of like that, but I call it looking for joy in a big bad story. My father-in-law, when the pandemic first started, which was March 2020, he was in an assisted living place and he got COVID, and of course we couldn't see him, and they took him to the hospital. He was 90, almost 91. They took him to the hospital and we were heartbroken. He was 7 minutes away and we couldn't get in to see him.
I remember that. So heartbreaking.
It was awful. And so we did find within that this wonderful, wonderful nurse. She had a hospital phone, but she would call us periodically to let us know how he was doing. And we could see, and she would just let us just watch him. And even though, I mean, she was suited up with the everything, even so she would stroke his head and, you know, talk to him. And she was the one who, and she didn't know this, every night since he had lost his wife, he went to sleep to old hymns on a radio station. Well, the night before we saw him, she had put some old hymns on the computer and just played them all night long. She was just an angel.
Wow.
Years ago, a number of years ago, I was at a church basketball banquet and the Chick-fil-A cow was mascot.
I'm sorry.
I'm taking you from tears to stupid. That's how it goes with me.
I love it.
But the Chick-fil-A cow came bouncing in and it was high-fiving all the kids. And I turned to my friend next to me and I said, that looks like fun. I could do that. And he said, well, why don't you? And I said, yeah, maybe I'll do that someday. And my husband was within earshot. So a couple months later, we were in a Chick-fil-A and he said, why don't you go up there and see about putting that cow suit on, find out what it takes. So I thought, oh, busted. I have to do it now. So I went up, I waited in line and asked for the manager at the counter. And I said, I would just like to know, what does it take to put on that cow suit and just do a few gigs? And he thought for a second and he said, what does it take? A pulse. That's what it takes. That's all you need. No brains, no skill, no nothing, just a pulse. So I said, I would like to apply for that position. So he brought out this application that was clearly for a teenager looking for a part-time job. And so I took it back and I thought, I am going to have some fun with this. So I made copies of my college transcripts and, you know, had a resume and I put together a portfolio to die for, made an appointment with the HR lady, met her in the mall. She was way younger than me and she was just taking the whole thing way too seriously. Oh gosh. I wish I could remember what questions she asked me. I don't. All I remember is that when she stood up at the end of the interview and stuck out her hand and said, "I am pleased to offer you the position of area market cow for Chick-fil-A." I feel like the president.
Area market cow. I love it.
Yeah. So that's on my resume now. But a year later, and I did 5 times that maybe I found out I was claustrophobic and the suit was not as fun as I thought it was going to be. But the next year at that same banquet, it was me who was the cow. And I thought, this is great. This is full circle. So I was waiting outside a door to go in. When all of a sudden I was reminded of some sorrow in my life. And that was this, ladies of a certain age have this hormonal furnace that heats up inside you. And my hormonal furnace was off the rails right then.
Oh, please, no,
not in this getup, please, please, please. But it reminded me of this. You mentioned our issues with infertility. And this was at a point where every time that happened, it was a reminder to me. We did have one daughter and thought we could have more, and it just didn't happen. We were not led to adopt. And so every time that happened, it was God saying to me, no more babies. This mm-hmm. is a no.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners might not have experience with infertility, but everybody knows what it's like to want something that mm-hmm. you don't have.
Right.
And that doesn't make sense and it's not fair and you don't understand, but you know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was burning up in here, and just like I said, every time it happened, it was just a confirmation of that. No. When it occurred to me, I had a thought that changed the way I thought about adversity and really started me on this path that I'm on now. And that was this: is this not the perfect picture of joy and sorrow in the same place? Me having a hot flash in a cow suit with the sorrow in this ridiculous costume. And I thought, right in the same space, the same sweaty, stupid space, was joy and sorrow.
Mm.
And so that's how I started to think about the tough stuff of life, all there together.
Right.
So you never know where you're going to learn lessons, right?
Oh, no, that's absolutely right. And speaking of ridiculous situations, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't call this a ridiculous situation, but I can't imagine doing this, Jill. Why did you once rent a chimpanzee to come and play at your house?
Okay. Mom and I were at the Virginia State Fair. We passed by a booth where you could get your picture taken with a chimpanzee for $5. And I begged my mom to do it. I just, "Mom, please, please, let's get a picture taken with a chimp." And she was more conservative than me. And she just kept saying, "No, no, no." And I have to remind myself, I was like 35 years old at the time. I wasn't a child. So there's that. She was 70, but we never did it. And I asked her, I said, "Why not? Why not? Why not?" She thought for a minute. And she said, "Well, somebody might look at it 50 years from now and think it's a 3-generation photo." She was not kidding. She was not trying to be funny.
Hilarious.
I know. So we didn't do it. And it just killed me. Well, 20 years later, all my family was coming from Indiana to Virginia to a big event. And I knew this was never going to happen again. I was lying in bed one night and thinking, "Oh my goodness, this would be a perfect chance for me to redeem that situation, redeem a chance to have fun." Next morning, I started looking around for a chimpanzee that I could rent, you know, that we could do pictures with. And do you know, if you network hard enough, you know, this was before Facebook was even around, but I just told everybody I knew. I found one. It's a man not far from us. He had a zoo. And this chimp lived in his house. So I called him up and I said, "Please don't think I'm crazy, but here's what I'm doing." He said, yeah, that'd be fun. But you don't want your mom to come out in the cold. It was December. He said, "Why don't I bring the chimp to your house?" which was even better. So we arranged for that. We had a photographer come in. Mom thought we were just taking pictures because we were all there. And when right. I saw the chimp and the handler come up the walk, I said, "Mom, put on some lipstick. I got a surprise for you." And opened the door, and she knew exactly what was going on. She said, "Oh yeah, I remember." And I said, "Let's just redeem this." And she was all about it then. Wow. So we spent an hour and a half and about 300 pictures just frolicking with that chimpanzee. And the best part of the day was, number one, when our whole family sat down in front of, you know, the camera, like a family portrait, and the chimp was, you know, like one of the children in front of us. One of those pictures you look at when, you know, when the picture's old, everybody says, "Yeah, I know who everybody else is, but who's that? You know, who's the kid in the front?" But the best moment of the day was when I sat down with my mom.
Oh, yeah.
And we had our picture taken with that chimp. So I keep that photo on my dresser all the time to remind me of two things. Number one, of that great moment. But number two, of the moments that are yet to come in the day.
Yes.
And how I need to be always on the alert with a camera or an index card or whatever works. Yeah.
Or a That's chimpanzee. Right.
Yeah, or a chimp. You can do it.
Oh, that is just wonderful. I'm just, you know, we just all need joy in our lives. God created us to appreciate joy, and it's just way important. And I know every time I listen to one of your podcasts, or anytime I have an opportunity to speak with you or be around you, I realize I do not purpose to have enough fun in my life. And I know this. And here at my age, I still haven't managed to work in enough fun and experience even more joy. And I have an idea that a lot of people that listen to this podcast might identify with me just because of life experiences and circumstances. And I just want to thank you, Jill, for just inserting joy into our lives in this podcast today.
What a